Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bless you today. I glorify you and magnify you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for once again for giving me the opportunity to speak to your people. I take no glory for myself. I seek no glory, Lord. I only seek to glorify you. May what I say today glorify you, Father God, to your people. May their hearts and minds be open to your message. May they hear your voice and not mine. And as always, God, I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are going to be times in our lives when things and people that we depend upon are going to let us down. Now, you could be getting ready to go to work one morning and turn the ignition and your car will not start. You may be taking public transportation, needing to get somewhere on time, but it is delayed. Someone in your family says they will do a certain thing for you, but when the time comes, it's a different story. See family members, mother, father, sister, brothers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, husbands, wives, teachers, government leaders, church leaders, bosses, cars, phones, microwaves, stoves, refrigerators, etc., etc. One day, sooner or later, someone or something that you are dependent upon will let you down. But one thing you can depend upon with a surety, it will always be there when you need it, and it will never let you down. And that is the word of God. Amen. Which brings me to the title of my message, Absolute Dependence Upon the Word of God. Absolute Dependence Upon the Word of God. I'm taking my first scripture reading from Matthew 4, 1 through 11. That's Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I'm coming from the Old King James. It says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungry. And when the tempter came to him and he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, God shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdom of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. See, Jesus gave us the recipe for defeating the devil. Speak the word. But when things come upon us, and we're going through situations in life, and the devil comes to us and begins to say things like, are you sure you're a son or daughter of God? You wouldn't be going through this if God truly loved you. See, if he can get you to begin to doubt or fear, he has you. You have opened the door for him, and now it's open season on you. But if you speak the word, tell the devil, my God says to count it all joy when trials and tribulations come upon me, to excuse me while I rejoice in the Lord. Amen. See, when you do that, then the door is slammed shut in the devil's face. See, but the devil is going to try to come in and try to tempt you in your old sins. See, let me speak to the men for just a minute. See, as men, we are visual creatures. And if you've had a problem with the flesh, you have to doubly be on guard. You can't be going around talking about, oh, look at her. Oh, she's beautiful, and she's got a body to boot. Oh, she smiled at me. She must want me. See, men are dumb like that. See, we think just because a woman smiles at us, she wants us. And don't let her be friendly toward us, then we really start fantasizing. But if you start thinking like that, bells ought to be going off. Ding, ding, ding. You're about to cross into dangerous territory. You better start speaking the word. And see, women, you're laughing, but a guy can't even look at you. What are you looking at me for? He must want me. He can't touch this. See, don't even let him try to talk to you. Then you go into stuck-up mode, thinking somebody wants you. He could just want to know what time it is or where something's at. But before he can get two words out of his mouth, you got your guard up. Oh, he wants me. See, never assume anything with people. The devil can use your assumptions against you. And let us look at that word assume when you break it up. And that's where you get that old saying from. When you assume, you make an A-double-S out of you and me. Never assume. Amen. What does the Bible say about the word of God? Hebrews 4 and 12, and I'm coming from the Amplified Version. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says this: for the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative and energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the divisions of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Amen. See, we'll say that two-edged sword, you know, when I think about that, a two-edged sword of God's word, I think about it cutting back and forth through us, cutting off bigotry, fornication, lust, pride, racism, backbiting, sickness, disease, adultery, meanness, unforgiveness, depression, weakness, failure, and temptation. Amen. See, God's word is living. It is not some dead word. It is full of power. Amen. It is filled with God's vitality and energy. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, they are spirit and they are life. See, wherever you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you awake, it will talk to you. That's God's word. Amen. The same word that is saving to the faithful is destroying to the disobedient. That is why when you're preaching God's word, some folks get upset or they get agitated. Amen. While some folks at the message are elated. Because God's word has the power to discern and to judge. God's word is able to reach those deep parts in you that you think that are hidden. That's why God's word is able to convince powerfully. It converts powerfully, and it comforts powerfully. Amen. It is so powerful. It is so powerful it can pull down strongholds. It can raise the dead. It can make the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk. Amen. It is powerful to batter down Satan's kingdom and set up Christ's kingdom on its ruins. Hallelujah. In Matthew 24 and 35, that's Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, I'm going back to the old King James. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 1 Peter 1 and 25, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. See, we must build with more assurance upon the word of Christ than we can upon the pillars of heaven or the strong foundation of the earth. For they shall be made to tremble and shall be no more. Amen. But the word of Christ shall remain and be in full force, full of power. Those who really hear the word, they're affected by its life-changing power. See, God's word has life. It gives life and it nourishes life. Amen. I mean, we should have appetites for the word just like hungry newborn babes. We should want the pure, unadulterated word of God. Because this alone can help us grow. See, it's sad when Christians have no appetite for God's word, but must be fed religious entertainment instead. See, as we grow, we discover that the word is milk for babes, but also strong meat for the mature. Sometimes children have no appetite because they've been eating the wrong things. But see, but if we begin to develop a certain wrong attitudes of heart, it will hinder our appetite for the word and spiritual growth. See, when we begin to speak ill of people and our conversations tear others down. If these attitudes and actions are in our lives, we will lose our appetite for the pure word of God. And if we stop feeding on the word, we stop growing. And we stop enjoying tasting the grace that we find in the Lord. But see, when Christians are growing in the word, they are peacemakers, not troublemakers. And they promote the unity of the church. Amen. In James 4 and 7, I'm going to the Amplified version here. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "So submit to the authority of God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, and he will flee from you." Amen. Do you know that the root cause of every war, internal and external, is rebellion against God? How does a believer declare war against God? By being friendly with God's enemies. See, if we want to be at peace with God, there are three enemies we must not fraternize with. One, the world; two, the flesh; and three, the devil. Let's take number one, the world. When we become friends of the world, we become spotted by the world. So the errors of our lives meet the approval of the world. And friendship leads to loving the world. Do you know that friendship with the world is compared to adultery? Why? Because the believer is married to Christ and ought to be faithful to him. The world is the enemy of God. But whoever wants to be the friend of the world cannot be a friend of God. Amen. Let us take number two, the flesh. See, by the flesh we mean the old nature. We inherited from Adam that is prone to sin. See, when we yield to Christ, we received a new nature. But the old nature is never removed or reformed. For this reason, there's always a battle within. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. See, living for the flesh means grieving the Holy Spirit of God, who lives in us. Just as the world is the enemy of God the Father, the flesh is the enemy of God the Holy Spirit. Living to please the old nature means to declare war against God. Amen. That is why the Bible tells us, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." The choice is yours. Choose death or choose life. And number three, the devil. See, the world is in conflict with the Father, the flesh fights against the Holy Spirit, and the devil opposes the Son of God. See, pride is Satan's greatest sin. This is one of his chief weapons against the saints. God wants us to be humble. The devil wants us to be proud. God wants us to depend on his grace. The devil wants us to depend on ourselves. One of the problems with the church today is there are too many celebrities and not enough servants. Man has nothing to be proud of in himself. The Bible tells us, "There dwells no good thing in us." But when we trust Christ, he puts the good thing in us that makes us his children. See, these three enemies want us to turn away from God. These enemies are left over from our old life. Amen. Christ has delivered us from them, but they still attack us. Well, how can we overcome them? Number one, we must submit to God. Unconditional surrender is the only way to complete victory. The way to resist the devil is to submit to God. Submission is an act of will. Not my will, but thine will be done. Amen. Number two, we must draw nearer to God. And how do we do this? By confessing our sins and asking for God to cleanse us. The more we are like God, the nearer we are to God. Number three is being to be humble ourselves before God. It is possible to submit outwardly and yet not be humbled inwardly. See, God hates the sin of pride, and he will chasten a proud believer until he is humbled. We have a tendency to treat sin too lightly, even to laugh about it. But sin is serious, and one mark of true humility is facing the seriousness of sin and dealing with our disobedience. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Amen. If we obey these three instructions, then God will draw near, cleanse us, and forgive us, and the wars will cease. We will not be at war with God, so we will not be at war with ourselves, and this means we will not be at war with others. Amen. See, you must have faith in the word of God. Because Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, come from the Amplified Version, it says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. See, our God never sleeps nor slumbers. God is awake and watching over his word to make sure it comes to pass. So when God says he's going to do something, you best believe he's going to get it done. God says he knew you while you were in your mother's womb. He formed you. He appointed you. God has made promises to you before you were even born. All the promises that God has made to you, fret not. They will come to pass. Amen. See, Psalms 138 and 2, that's Psalms chapter 138, verse 2, and I'm going back to the old King James. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Amen. See, God has a purpose to be fulfilled in your life, in the life of every believer. See, God has magnified his purpose above his own name. God has exalted his word more than his own reputation. God has magnified his promise to you and his faithfulness to it. See, above all of his other revealed attributes, his promises are backed up by the honor of his name. Do you know anybody like that? See, some folks get a little afraid when people are talking about this. They may have made some derogatory remark about their children, and they truly get distressed by what was said, because they give a lot of weight to those people's words. But let me tell you what the Lord says about that. Amen? In Isaiah 54 and 17, that's Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, I'm going back to the old King James, it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. See, peace and safety are the heritage of those who trust in the Lord. See, God throws a protective covering over his people so they will be safe. Jehovah is your maker and will not destroy the people he's created for his glory. He is your redeemer and will never put you in the hands of the evil one. God says he is your helper. He will fight for you. Why are you afraid? He will strengthen you. The Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way, but will flee before you seven ways. He will make you victorious. You have no reason to fear. Amen. And see, and if I was to be feeling afraid, I would go to 2 Timothy verse 1 and 7. It says, for God had not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Amen. See, and when I'm feeling that I'm not sure that I can do something, I'm going to go to Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I'm feeling opposition coming against me, I'm going to go to 1 John 4 and 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And when I'm feeling down, I'm going to go to Nehemiah 8 and 10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I feel that I'm in need of protection, I'm going to go to Psalm 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. And when I'm feeling a little like, you know, that like they can't, I'm feeling a little tired and I can't seem that I can't go on. I'm going to go to Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And when I feel like that I can't, that I have to, like I got to face the impossible, I'm going to go to Matthew 19 and 26. All things are possible with God. Hallelujah. That is the power of the word. Amen. Isaiah 55 and 11. That's Isaiah chapter 55 and 11. I'm going back to the old King James. It says, so shall my word that be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereof I have sent it. Amen. See, God's word is creative. With the utterance, the results is achieved. The word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, it has a prosperous course. It is endued with life from God. God's word cannot fail to bring about the desired result. The word of God contains very real power to accomplish his will. You know, it says, you know, that he brought back life in the lifeless bones through the prophetic words of Ezekiel. Jesus said that these are not my words, but the words of the one who sent me. When we speak the word, they are not our words, but they are the words of God. Amen. In Psalm 107 and 2, that's Psalm 107, that's chapter 107, verse 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And 1 Peter 4 and 11, that's 1 Peter chapter 4 and 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified, through Jesus Christ, of whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 1, and I'm going to the Amplified verse here. That Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, become imitators of God. Copy him. Follow his example. As well-beloved children imitate their father. 2 Samuel 23 and 2, going back to the old King James. That 2 Samuel 23 and 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. See, when we speak the word, it's like God himself is speaking, and no devil or hell can come against it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. As I bring my message to a close, Ecclesiastes 8 and 4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. But who may say unto him, what does thou? See, kings in Solomon's day had a vast amount of power. Their word was absolute. They did what they wanted. Amen? So if King Solomon's has vast amount of power, how much more powerful is the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ? How much more infallible is his word? How much more mightier is his rule and reign? Should we be more in awe of him? Should we be more trusting of him than some man? See, we must come to a place of absolute dependence upon the word of God. See, when we get to that place, we will get to a place of absolute dependence upon God. See, it was God's word that made us. Is it any wonder that his word should sustain us? How many of you can say that you love the word? See, they that lack it least are the ones who know it least. But they that love it most are the ones who read it most. See, sooner or later, people or things are going to let you down. But the word of God will never let you down. God bless you.